Mists of steam filling the air of the small marble room, Baron Edgar Gaza was sprawled naked in the shallow end of his large swimming pool, the clear mountain water flowing steadily around his hard, muscular form from a feeder pipe. On the tiles near his head was a pile of dry towels and several loaded blasters. Lying at the bottom of the pool was a stiletto. Hawk was leaning against a marble pillar. His shirt was unbuttoned to the waist, the entire tattoo of the scorpion visible on his broad chest.
I think they're spies sent by the traitor. Best to chill them. I'll gather 20 of our best men. We'll make this a night creep and go out the bunch in their sleep.
Soaping his arms, Gaza gazed at his sect chief with saturnine calm.
Well, women too?
We already got women. Don't need any more.
At the far end of the pool, the women of the Baron's harem were slowly washing themselves, the sudsy water carried away into another pre-dark pipeline. Where the dirty water went, the Baron had no idea, but it was no place local, so it wasn't a challenge to his control over the vill. Once the wife of a blacksmith had given birth to a tiny baby, and when the boy was 10, Gaza equipped the child with several bottles of air and flushed him down the pipeline, with orders to return with the information about the water's final destination. Gaza said that if he was successful, his family would live comfortably for the rest of their lives. A lie, but the boy eagerly accepted the challenge and dove into the feeder pipe. He was never heard from again. The women stayed in this wing of the keep, their tongues removed to stop any of them from talking, just in case one of them escaped somehow. Whenever one of them got too old, Gaza would brutally kill her in front of the others, saying she had tried to escape. And then he would beat the rest as punishment for allowing her to try. Escape attempts were few and far between. It was something his father had taught him. Keep the slaves suspicious of one another, and they become the guards. His father had been a very wise man, the founder of Rockpointville. Wise and hard. Edgar had been the youngest son of the Baron, and one day had been pitted against his older brothers in the arena. Armed with knives and spiked clubs, the boys were commanded to fight, the winner to be the heir to the vill. Edgar had offered to team with a sibling and share the vill, and when the fool accepted and turned his back, Edgar beat him to death and stole his knife. Now armed with two weapons, he savagely fought the others and won. But the eldest brother had gotten in a few good strikes before dying, and Edgar's badly broken leg had never healed correctly. He still limped to this day, the old break aching badly when the acid rains came in the fall.
Well, what should we do, Baron?
Washing lazily, Gaza looked at the desert giant. His loyalty was unquestionable, which was why the Baron allowed the chief to challenge his orders. Only a fool listened to bootlickers. Hawk had been found in the desert crawling with scorpions, stung 100 times. Incredibly, the man lived and was proven immune to the deadly poison of the tiny killers. A useful skill that became their safeguard with the scorpion god. The sect man sometimes referred to him as the Big Scorpion, which amused Gaza greatly. The more the troops feared Hawk, the more authority the Baron had over them. It was all a matter of control. And control was why he created the water shortage. If he opened the pipes, the entire valley would be flooded. But a simple twist of the valve, and the water slowed to the merest trickle. Now visitors paid for the precious liquid with ammo and horses, food, and sometimes their very lives. His troops had the pick of the sluts, and his people believed that he was their savior and only chance of life.
We shall ace them, of course.
Baron Gaza slipped under the water for a moment, then rose to push back his wet hair. The women waded closer to their husband, wrapping him in dry towels as he walked from the pool.
How is the matter in question?
Gaza took a clean robe from a marble bench and belted it about his waist.
They have rapid fires and pre-dark ammo. And the black-haired man, Ryan, has the look of a real fighter. I think it might be best to let them stay for a day or two, sell them water, and then track them when they leave. Ace them far from the vill and bring the blasters and wag back for our private arsenal.
Padding naked past the sec man, a blonde looked at the giant with no more interest than if he were a chair, her full breasts swinging to the gentle motion of her young body. Hawk understood why their tongues had been removed, but considered it a waste. However, they could still be bent over a bench. Didn't need a tongue for that. He rubbed the scars along his neck with a palm and frowned.
Not good enough. We should have them chilled tonight, my lord.
Taking the stopper from a crystal bottle, Gaza poured a goblet full of sparkling clean water and took a sip, spilling some onto the floor in the process.
All right. Send troops to the motel and ace the outlanders in their beds. Then blame Sparrow and drag him through the courtyard to the temple. He's been stealing from me long enough as it is. It's high time he was punished.
Nobody is above the law.
Hawk rubbed his tattoo as he watched the women splash about in the soapy pool. Already the currents were flushing the suds away, leaving the water clear. Noticing the direction of his gaze, Baron Gaza fixed the man with a hard look.
Remember that, old friend. What scorpions can't ace, the scorpion god can.
In the lobby of the motel, the companions stood transfixed, their minds trying to absorb the implications of the incredible news.
The traitor and Abe are alive.
So they say.
Christie then nodded at the two fat men.
We should continue this in private.
Sparrow misunderstood her statement and dropped to his knees.
Please don't chill us!
Ryan gestured with the Sig Sauer.
Upstairs, Stoop. Jack, get the dogs.
The teenager nodded and started urging the hounds into the office with a soft whistle. The beasts followed him into the room, and he closed the door with a sharp bang.
My dogs! Not my dogs!
JB poked the man with the Uzi.
Shut up and move!
As they marched the fat man up the stairs, Jed tried to make a break, and Ryan clubbed him to the floor with the barrel of his blaster.
Oh!
Trembling in fear, Sparrow did nothing, unable to speak. Going to the end of the corridor, Ryan shoved open a door to find a corner room containing only the barest essentials, a mattress on the floor, an empty water pitcher, and a night soil bucket. Putting the men back to back on the dirty mattress, Ryan and JB kept them covered while Mildred cut some rope from the blinds and Doc expertly tied their feet at the ankles, and then each man's hand to the other's arm in a crisscross pattern. The brothers grumbled and complained, but didn't resist. Coming out of the dark bathroom, Christie ripped a paper-thin towel into strips and stuffed a wad of cloth into their mouths before gagging them tightly.
Good job! They're not getting out of that!
Leaving the room, JB used his tools on the door and tricked the lock into engaging with a solid click.
That'll hold him for a while.
He tucked the picks into his munitions bag. Returning downstairs, the companions found Jack at the front counter, stropping a knife on a whetstone.
Oh no! Did you kill the dogs?
Nah, locked in office.
Good enough.
Ryan holstered his piece, then rubbed his eyes. Fireblast, he was tired. But the sleep that had been so tantalizingly close was now very far away.
So what do you all think?
JB leaned against the sandbags and crossed his arms.
Beats me, but it sort of makes sense. Where else could they get the ammo if not from a traitor? There are certainly no ruins around here to scavenge.
Might just be somebody using the name. You know, as advertising. You can trust me, I'm traitor, that sort of thing.
Never thought that. Twisted.
No, my friend. You're just an honest man.
Get lots of enemies, Dad. But make lots of deals, too.
However, there's a chance that it might actually be traitor.
Then again, it might just be some mercy. You could have the traitor as a prisoner, forcing tech secrets about the wags and blasters to build an empire. Or his son, or a clone, or...
His voice trailed off. The possibilities damn near endless. And after what they had seen traveling the Deathlands, the man knew that almost anything was possible these days. In reply, Ryan shook his head. There were too many questions, and no bastard answers at all. Darkness was starting to cover the ville, so Christie lit a candle. Out the front windows, Ryan could see the bright light coming from the barn next door.
Now what? Somebody is going to eventually miss those fools, so the sooner we leave, the better.
We can't leave at night. Not without acing some folks, and then we'll have a war party chasing our asses across the desert.
Tomorrow should be good. Gotta remove that stick and thermostat anyway. A few hours of work should triple our speed across Texas. 600 miles is a long way to the next...
He paused and glanced up the stairs to the closed door.
to the next waterhole.
Stopping near the fountain, Ryan grunted at the discretion. They knew better than to even say the word redoubt among others. Some people knew of the legends, but the fewer that number stayed, the better.
Engines have their use, my friend, but I have yet to see a car that can reproduce itself.
You're thinking horses, Doc? There's a thought. How much ammo do we have?
Christy rummaged through her pockets.
I have a box.
Total of 3 more boxes of the 22 cartridges. More than enough to buy horses. The locals have plenty, so the price shouldn't be too high. Unless the Baron owns all of the horses.
Phew, not gonna reach Grandee on horses. Need wag. Bad land down there.
Besides, we don't know how to find the trader. His supply bases are secret, even if it is the same person.
We used to know them. But he was always changing in locations in case there was a turncoat.
Ryan frowned deeply. A traitor. That was something he hadn't considered until now. Jack brushed back his long, snowy hair.
But how fine?
Pulling a map from his munitions bag, JB smoothed it across the counter, and the companions gathered around, the combined candlelight almost making the document readable.
Now, we came from the east, which leaves north, south, and west. South of here is the Grandee, north is New Mex, and the west is unknown.
Mildred used her butane lighter to light a lumpy candle on the front counter. The tiny flame constantly jerked as the fatty wax spat and popped.
3 choices, none of them guaranteed.
And a million combinations mixed in between those 3. This is hopeless.
Damn straight. We need more info.
Ryan smoothed out Texas with his hand.
Bastard lot of territory to wreck blind.
Jack glanced upstairs.
Segment no truth. Those tubs lads might be spinning shitwebs.
The teenager knew that he could easily force the 2 men to spill their guts with a hot blade, but that was something he would hold off doing until there was no other choice.
Hey, we passed a gaudy house down the road. There's always sec men there. It's only a couple of blocks away, and we do have free rein inside the ville.
Glancing out the door, Ryan started to speak, but Doc cut off the man.
I shall stay with Dean. The establishment in question is too far away for any response from us to be of effective use if there was an altercation.
Thanks. Save the MRE packs. We'll bring you something for dinner.
Doc glanced at the silent office door.
Anything but dog.
Checking the street outside for any suspicious movement before leaving the motel, Ryan motioned the others forward, and they split apart in the deepening darkness. As silent as a ghost, Doc melted into the shadows along the side of the building and was gone from sight. Christy nodded in approval. The old fellow was getting good at that. In the night air was a faint reek from the garbage dump behind the motel, but that faded as they crossed the street. From the roofed section of the ville, the lights from the windows were reflected off the rippling cloth, giving the streets a golden hue like something from an old vid. Now there came the aroma of frying peppers mixing with the clean smell of the desert salt. Somewhere a horse whinnied, and there came the crash of pots and pans, followed by raised voices marking a fight. Mildred checked the map in her notebook.
It was this way.
The companions passed very few people on the streets. A young boy dragging a burlap bag full of sticks, an old woman bundled under a raggedy shawl, limping along a side street. Muted voices came from behind the closed shutters, and something flew by overhead, its passage masked by the patched material roofing the ville. Steadily, the temperature dropped as night descended in full, slices of light beaming through the shutters and around closed doors, becoming brighter in the purple dusk. A sec man walked down the center of the street with a long blaster slung over his shoulder, a hand tight on the faded leather strap. He looked hard at the companions, then slowly nodded, granting them passage, and kept slowly walking. Easing his stance, Ryan let go of his grip on the Sig Sauer, and Jack tucked the throwing knife in his hand back up the sleeve of his camo jacket. JB took his hand off his slung Uzi.
A lot of security here. Everybody seems scared.
If the Baron is at war with the traitor, they damn well should be.
Roger that.
Time to reload. Deathlands is continued on the next CD.
Outlanders. sci-fi, sex, and violence. And violence. Oh yeah, we'll keep you up. Outlanders, only from Cutting Audio.
www.cuttingaudio.com